This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
Oh, wow. Ah. Look at it. Look at it.
Hey, buongiorno. Hey, hey.
It's Big Sue.
I've returned. Not dead.
For those that don't know, he was dead.
Yeah.
And now he's not.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Not named Pope. A little disappointed. But I guess that it hasn't been official yet, but threw my hat into the ring.
You know, have they not announced a new pope?
No, we haven't seen the smoke
Japanese
yet.
The Japanese guy?
No.
Did you know the Japanese guy that we talked about before you left?
Yeah.
Or he's not Japanese.
Korean?
He's Filipino.
Filipino. He's one of the odds-on favorites.
Did you know?
How you're just being racist and like you're just lumping all...
That Asian guy.
You're like, I don't know, he's Japanese, Korean, something weird. I don't know, Filipino? Go with that.
Did you know that he is a... he sings karaoke?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Hmm.
Do you want it? I can pull it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. He's great. Anyway, back from Italy.
Back from Italy.
Italy, a country. Here he is. This could be
the new pope.
Yeah.
Could be.
Well, we had like the very compassionate man of the people pope, and now we can get karaoke pope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Karaoke pope.
Yeah. I was in the Holy of Holies. I mean, I was...
You sure were. You were right there now.
I was there.
The people want to know, did you get to see the pope's little dead feet?
No. So... I cannot begin to describe the massive humanity outside of St. Peter's Basilica with the Pope. The amount of security, the amount of just, they said on average, I think the wait time on any given day was between 5 and 6 hours. And
honestly, that's better than I would have thought.
To get in and see him. So we had one where we thought if we got there at the butt crack of dawn, like 5 in the morning, maybe we might be able to get line. We got there a little before 5, and they said it was already at 3 hours, and we were like,
"That means 3's not." I mean,
well, but they just like we saw,
that's not bad.
And they had these big video screens all over the square there at the Vatican. So you could see like they had the live view.
Well, we saw it on the news.
Yeah,
I mean, they showed all that, but
and so like you just,
I was looking for you. In
you
the
didn't
crowd.
Get to get near him. You just kind of walked through, and
no,
then they
some
just,
people did. Some people, you get to walk right by, and people were taking selfies with his little feet.
You get to walk by, but it's like, I mean, it's, you're not like, there's like a barrier. You're not up against it. And then like they kind of usher you through. And then we got a private tour of the Vatican, and we got to the door of the Basilica. And so we got to open the Vatican. That was the coolest thing I did.
So you unlocked the door to the Pope's
That was the one place
room?
That we weren't allowed to go.
But let's say like the Cardinals?
Yes. We got to do
like
all
their
that.
Little rooms and stuff.
So that was the coolest thing. I don't know how my buddy did this, but there's a handful available, I guess, over the course of the month. The Vatican opens at 8, and we were under the impression, because we didn't know what we were doing. My buddy planned the whole thing for another one of our friends' 40th birthday. So we went in blind, didn't know anything we were doing. And we were kind of under the impression that the Vatican was just going to be a no-go, because we got there right as they were going to start the funeral. And so we get to the Vatican at the, you know, that morning, and we thought we were going just to see if we could get in line. And we go to the back door, and they open it up at like 5:45, and it's us and 12 other people. And they let you in through the back door, and it's you, your tour guide, who's a lady named Rose, who was awesome. She lived at the Vatican. She was six. She was showing me like all the pictures of like her and all the different popes, and she's been hanging out. Her whole life's there. She was an older lady. And we went room to room and opened all the doors and turned on the lights of the Vatican. Not another single person in there.
Yeah, you can't go into that part.
No.
When you take a tour.
No.
This is like a back room. Yes, behind the scenes tour.
We got to do stuff that you don't get to do. And then it culminated with us being in the Sistine Chapel. And she was like, we need to get there so you have some moments, because once the security guard and the cleaning guards come in, everything changes. They no phones, no nothing. She goes, I want you guys to experience this. So I was the first one to got to walk in. So I kind of blocked the doorway, and I got about 30 seconds until someone was like, hey, fat ass, move it. I just blocked the door, and I got to just stand in the Sistine Chapel by myself. And it was really emotional. That was hands down the coolest thing.
Were you touched by him?
No, but it was like, for not being a religious person, dude, it's hard to not get overwhelmed in that. And then just being in there with like I said, like maybe 15 people, you just don't get to do that. And our tour guide, who was, again, spent her whole life there and was very passionate about it, she just was so good at kind of outlining the history and what happened and why this is special. And it was truly a unique experience. But that's the one part that we weren't allowed to go in.
That's pretty cool.
We got to go to the Basilica, and then she was like, behind this door, you know, this is where he's at. And obviously for other reasons, we weren't allowed to.
Oh, his little body was in there?
Yeah, his little body was in there.
His little cold body?
Yep. So we were not, that was the only room. Anyway. We were not allowed to go in.
So I've been on a tour of the Vatican, but they just take it. I mean, I've been to St. Peter's Basilica and all that. But the behind the scenes is what you want to see.
Yes.
So what is that like? What is it like? Is it underwhelming?
No, it's overwhelming.
The accommodations are cool?
Well, like, you got to go up the original staircase to where the original popes, like 1,000 years ago lived. Yeah. And Leonardo da Vinci apparently would ride his horse up the spiral staircase to meet with the Pope. Like, stuff like that.
That
like,
seems controversial.
Yeah, you got to stand on the
Did you take your horse up there?
Not allowed. Like, we had to stand on the balcony where the Pope back in the day, you know, would address the people. And you got to see some of where the living quarters would have been for, you know, 1,000 years ago. We got to see...
But not the current living
quarters. Not the current living quarters, oh, okay. No.
Okay.
No, not the current living quarters. Like some of the stuff we got to see a piece of the original cross.
Yeah, I guess that'd be weird if you unlock the door to some cardinal's room and he's standing there naked.
But we got to see a piece of the original cross. That was, and by the way, they're like, there's so much stuff in there. Like it kind of, and you're kind of hurrying because while it's a tour, you are opening all the doors for the public. So you're kind of moving.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh my gosh. And like, they're kind of brushing through and like, oh, there's a piece of the original cross. You're like, wait, come again? Huh? They're like, well, you know, take a look. And then it's like, hey, we got to move on to the next thing. And like, they've got, I know you're not like John the Baptist, who is Jesus's brother. They've got the robe that he was wearing when he baptized Jesus. And you're like, You're like, that right there? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, take a look at it. And now we got to go. Like stuff like that, that to me was like, oh my God, that's there. And they're like, yeah, it's there. There's a bunch of this stuff. Like, come on, we gotta go. And so just, that was a very overwhelming experience. I can imagine if you were a Catholic, I can see why that is. I mean, for me being a godless heathen, I cried a couple times in there.
Oh.
Just like, and when you're standing in that chapel, you realize that more decisions that have affected the outcome of like world events have probably happened in that room than any other room. Maybe in history like that, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to be in that place. And like, after they booted us out of the chapel, it was 8:00. And then they were like, you can go off on your own, but our tour ended. And then the Vatican opened. And within 10 minutes, there's 10,000 people in that place. And it instantly just becomes an S show. And we're like, yeah, let's get out of here. So to get to spend that 2+ hours in that building by yourself, I'll never forget it. It's hands down.
That's super cool.
Maybe it's one of, if not the coolest thing that I've ever gotten to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Vatican was busy on just a regular day.
Yeah.
Much less when the Pope dies.
Yeah.
And everyone comes to town and cries. And
It's just a massive humanity.
Yeah. Well, so, I would imagine.
But yeah, we got to do a couple of those kind of unique individual things that my friend had planned out for us, which were really, really cool. That being nothing will top that. We did a lot of cool stuff, but nothing will top the opening the Vatican. That's an all-timer.
Well, there's a couple things we need to tell you.
Yeah, stuff happened.
Yep.
True story.
Two things, two main things. One, Dusty Fan Man Hera is our new leader. Did you see that?
I leave for like a week and a half, and
how about that?
You know, now I got Fan Man, and he's writing corporate emails, and apparently he's all power hungry. And
yeah, let me read the email. I got to read this for you guys because we were disgusted with Dusty.
Yeah.
Well, we announced this. He failed to announce it on his show, and I totally understand why, because he said, because this happened on Friday.
Yeah.
He said, well, what am I going to do? Just say, hey, guess what I'm doing? You know, like, I get that. You don't want to like announce your. And then Danny was waiting for Dusty to say something. So they went their whole show and they never said anything. So we had him in here at 3 o'clock and we announced him as the new head cheese at the Fan, the brand manager. And Buck and I were lamenting the fact that he's already getting the, well, congrats, Dusty. Hey, welcome to the team. And then corporate people are chiming in and, you know.
Yeah.
And Dusty has responded to that email. And it's look, he's not off to a good start, okay?
No, it's a little.
He says, thank you, everyone. I'm excited for the opportunity and continuing to build onto the great stations Jeff Austin left with
us. Oh, for God's sake.
Looking forward to working with you all. Dusty.
We've already met up. By the way, everyone was then.
Terrible.
Everyone was patting each other on the back and sending emails. You know, my email.
By the way, typos abound in there. Ending a sentence with prepositions. You know, you're going to be a leader. You got to be. We need. He's dressing terrible.
Well, I came in
it's
today,
not off to a good start.
He's wearing Jordan sneakers and like a Southern Oregon t-shirt. I was like, this is BS. I want some pleated slacks. I want a level of sophistication that Jeff Austin could appreciate. He needs to raid Swag's wardrobe immediately. I responded with the emails. I thought we could have done better. Just saying.
Well, we probably could have, but you know. It's good to keep it in-house.
Yeah, you know, low-hanging fruit, if you will. It's like, give it to that guy.
Yep.
It's like when they hire the interim coach. You're like, I don't know, give it. The players seem to like him. Yeah, give it to him.
So he starts on Monday.
Yeah. So Dusty is our Mitch Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? That's Jeff Baton Rouge is Popovich.
He's literally El Jefe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. That's fake. There he is right there.
Oh, no.
Again, like, wearing
that's
it's Popovich.
Yeah, not Jeff Austin. No.
But he kind of looks like Austin a little bit. I can see that. Like, he's wearing a tracksuit.
Well, I tell you, Pop looks terrible.
Well, I mean, for God's sakes, he almost died.
It's like, not going well.
No, well, that's why he's not coaching anymore. So
that's why he's doing bits on his t-shirts now.
It's just alarming. Like,
all I know is I leave. The hot five at five apparently is gone. Yeah. Dusty's in charge.
Yeah, we killed that.
Holy hell. My God. I can't leave for any period of time and
Do you have any sort of reservations about killing the hot five at five? Was that your favorite segment?
I have deep-seated emotional. It was very traumatic for me. I was, you know.
Is it like being in the Sistine Chapel? Should we give you a few minutes?
Same sort of thing, yes.
Okay, well, it's dead.
Oh.
And I would like to announce to you that our producer, our beloved Ryan Buckley over there, is now a Sprint Tri Clydesdale.
I don't know what that means, but sounds pretty cool.
I mean,
not yet. But
no, you are.
Am I?
Well, I mean, you are Sprint Tri Clydesdale.
Working towards.
So he's going to be he's going to be competing in a Sprint Triathlon.
Yeah,
I'm very.
It's kind of a bastardized triathlon. It's a triathlon for
don't
people.
Don't you
who,
go poo pooing this?
Can
well,
you
look,
swim?
It's a
yeah.
Yeah, of course he can. I mean, you have to swim to be able to do a triathlon.
That's where this all started. I started lap swimming like 6 or 8 months ago.
Okay.
And then I was like, the bike I could probably handle, and I hate running, but I could figure that out, so maybe I could do this thing.
So
here we are.
Sprint Tri is like a faster
it's a
one?
Short triathlon.
It's a shorter one. It's for people who don't want to do the real thing.
What are the distance? Is this like when I'm planning on putting on a 1K fun run one of these days to support, like, I don't know,
ooh,
something?
1K.
A 1K fun run.
Is that half a mile? What would that be?
1K is two-thirds of a mile, yeah, roughly. Two-thirds.
It's gonna be. We got a buddy of ours who's in the military. He's a larger gentleman. Well, he's now out of the military.
He's a Clydesdale,
and he's got fallen arches, and we like to make fun of him because he's a big fat guy with fallen arches. So we want to do the 1K fun run, fallen heroes, fallen arches.
Ooh,
where we get together and we support veteran foot health. It seems like one of those. Like, are you jogging like 8 feet and then swimming like a lap?
A little bit more than that. It's an 800-meter swim, which is about half a mile.
Okay.
And it's a 12-mile bike, and it's a 5K run. So 3.3 miles.
So they call it a sprint try. And I want you to know, this is the best part.
Okay.
He is in the Clydesdale division.
That's right. Is that 20 plus, baby?
That's for the heavies.
That's for the hefty boys. I got my own division and everything.
So he's our new sprint tri Clydesdale.
I like it.
Yeah.
You can be shopping in the Husky Teen section, are you, for a Speedo?
We've already had a listener who's also fellow Clydesdale offer to let me borrow their wetsuit. So, you know.
Wow.
Miss a lot.
I did miss a lot. God, every time I leave, you know, come back and everything's changed.
Yep. Well, nice to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Welcome back from Europa.
Yes.
Headlines?
Headlines.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We're going to do some headlines.
Oh, headlines next.
I think that's what we're going to do.
I like headlines.
That's kind of the new... It's my way of saying we're not going to totally kill the Hot 5 at 5.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to usher us into the show nicely at 3:15 to do
new
headlines.
Format. Scandals and animals. I like it. Let's go.
Well, that way we don't have to talk about every dumb thing that's in the news, but we can talk about the things that are interesting to us. So that's what we're going to do.
Let's
start the show next on The Fan. Hello.
Hello.
Big Sook is back, guys. Mm-hmm. Back on his own show here on The Fan.
Which has now suddenly changed. I got a Clydesdale behind the glass. And
yep.
Our former intern is now our boss.
I know.
Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
Our producers go on to really big things.
Now there's like a vacuum because Dusty's going to be leaving his show, and so then everyone's going to be backbiting each other to try to get that job.
Yeah, what if Buck gets that job?
I'm guessing Buck's throwing his hat in the ring.
I don't know.
All hell's breaking loose, man.
God.
Mm-hmm.
So Lynch went on to the Blazers from our show.
Yeah, Travis Demers.
Travis Demers is now the Blazers. Well, he kind of took a roundabout.
Well, but still.
But he wasn't our producer, was he?
No, but he was our update guy and stuff, and he was a fill-in host for us. Chad the Body Doing started over here on The Fan. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Swigard is now,
he's the voice of the Hops and the voice of the UP Pilots.
Swigard. He was our first producer, and then we had, Bernie kind of got a rough go of it.
Yeah, you know, it just stood.
He was probably the best producer we ever had, and he's the one that got turfed. Unbelievable.
No one else has been fired.
They fired him in like 8 months.
Yeah, he got laid off. You know, it was a weird time.
It was
after 9/11, and there was a lot going on, a long time ago. And look, we can't talk about that.
He was great.
Rest in peace, Bernie. I heard he got married, though.
I think he's married. I think he's back east.
It's in Cleveland, maybe?
I'm not sure if he stayed in radio. And then we had, am I missing anybody? We had Lynch.
We've had Swag a couple times.
Swag, Dusty. Dusty's now the head of The Fan.
Yeah.
And we got Buckley.
Yeah.
The
Now Buckley's going to go on to fame and fortune being a Sprint Clydesdale. I like that
Sprint Tri Clydesdale.
I like that they call it Clydesdale.
Yeah, 220 plus.
It's like when you call the fat section the Husky section. I like that they
But it's way cooler than Husky Boys.
I like that they found new and creative ways to call people fat.
I think that's a great term for Husky.
Yeah, the Clydesdale.
The Clydesdales.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of baller, but also it's like, okay.
You're still a big-ass
baller. Yeah, we get it.
We know what you're doing. It's better than being the elephant division, the manatee, you know, of all the big animals you could be. We know what you're doing. We know.
Well, it was the Buddy Hield game, as they call it.
Yes.
Yes.
My Warriors. Mm-hmm. Bucks Warriors.
Yeah.
Game 7s didn't really deliver. Hockey delivered. Mm. Hockey delivered for us, but not, not the NBA.
That Winnipeg game
as bananas.
I mean, I didn't see the game.
No.
I just mean the moment in the game.
Yeah,
when it was tied.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was they scored
1.6 seconds left, and the Jets tied it.
They scored two goals in the final 2 minutes to tie it up, and then one in the second overtime off of a double doink. I mean,
and they said that the Stars did that the night before, I think, and in the previous 106 years of hockey in the world,
yeah,
only three teams had ever done that, down two goals in the third period.
And yet there it was. Yeah.
And they did it on back-to-back nights.
Freaking nuts.
4 and 5.
And the NBA first round was interesting, but the game sevens really didn't provide much of much drama.
Golden State Nuggets took
care of business, and then the Warriors.
The Golden State Houston game last night was never in doubt.
No.
It just was never. No.
And I was watching that up at that was one of the layovers. My final stop coming back, I watched that up at a bar in Seattle.
It was just a game that, like, the Warriors jumped out early, and Houston just didn't. As long as the Warriors slowed it down, the Rockets just did not have the offense to come back. It was almost like a college game where you just see one team just that much better than the other, and they just hold them off the whole time.
Yep, and it just kind of felt like, and I was reading an article, and it was before Game 6 that Houston won to send it to a Game 7, where they were already taking it, and because I think the assumption was maybe they were going to bow out in 6. I'm talking about the Rockets, and they were saying, if you're Houston, what do you do? Because you're this young, plucky team, but we've seen a lot of teams like this that get to the, 50-plus wins, you're the second seed, and yet you don't really have a guy. And is that the difference? And what does Houston do to get that guy? And it felt like that when you're watching that game against Golden State. Houston has, outside of Oklahoma City, it's probably the best collection of young talent in the NBA, and there's a ton of assets, and the future is very, very bright. But you look up and down that roster, you need someone that in a game like that, that you can go to get you 12, 13 points in a quarter and force your way back into that. And as good as Houston is, they don't have that guy.
I kept hearing how great Jalen Green was.
Well,
he was nowhere.
No. And that's what they were saying is you're still talking about whether it's Thompson, Green, or the big guy in the middle, are all
Shingun.
Yeah. Are all very, very young. And it's the idea of, can one of those guys turn into that star, or do you need to go out and get it?
I don't know. I think you got to get a KD out there.
It's possible.
Or something like that.
Well, that's the thing is, like, how, and this is the question that NFL teams ask, NBA teams ask, everybody is, do you let, and Oklahoma City, by the way, is going through this. They had it after last year when they got bounced by the Timberwolves. Do you continue to let something incubate and cook and naturally see if you can get there? Or do you try to speed up the process and shove your chips in the middle and try to put something together right now? Wow. And there's no right or wrong answer, but whether it's like the NFL with the Houston Texans, the Commanders are having to go through it this offseason, and then with Houston and probably Oklahoma City, these are all questions. They're great questions to deal with. It's a great problem to have, but you are going to have to answer the question is, do you have that guy that turns into it, or do you give up one of your young assets and some of your draft capital to go out and get someone?
I mean, I just feel like, I don't think it has to be like that extreme. I just think that you have to improve on your weaknesses. And they have glaring weaknesses.
Yes.
I mean, they can't shoot for anything.
No.
And they really don't have a go-to guy. So right there is, Kevin Durant jumps off the page at you.
Although with Durant, he's so old. The one that I think is interesting with Houston is do you go make a play for Giannis?
Or Giannis, yeah. That's another one, too.
And not necessarily.
That's a bit, you're going to have to give up a lot.
You have to give up a lot, but I mean.
You might even give up Shengun because they both play a four, kind of.
But look, you're Houston and you're loaded. And they say that they still think that Reed Shepard may be the most talented offensive player on their team. He doesn't even play. If you're Houston, I mean, this is the Blazer thing, right? Oh, we're not giving up young talent because young talent can develop into something. Dude, sometimes you just, and by the way, if your young talent goes somewhere else and turns into something, fine. But if you got an opportunity to go get an MVP that's won a title to be put around a really, really young, talented roster, okay. So if you give up Green and he goes on and turns out to be a great player, okay, whatever. You have an MVP that could be available on the market. I'm kind of the ilk of maybe go get that guy. Durant, 37, 38 years old, maybe not so much. But
I'd get Durant. I'd obviously
reduce cost.
Yeah, I think it's all about what you pay.
Yeah,
Giannis, yes, you make a play, but you can't give up too much. Like, you can't completely change the chemistry of the team and the roster just to get that guy. That kind of defeats the purpose if you like what you already have.
Yeah.
It's Durant is going to be cheaper and maybe solves some of your problems. But yes,
I know what we'd do in Portland. We'd be like, no,
nah.
These young guys,
Ant.
Young guys are going to turn into something. We have everyone we need on this roster.
Well, anyway.
But it is weird that that is another young team. Loaded
they're
with,
tough.
They're tough.
They're
and
tough.
They had a great season.
Good
and they
coach.
And they bowed out in the first round.
Yeah, well, I think you could see that coming, though. Yeah. Could you not? I mean, I think we called that here. Yeah. It's like they had first-round exit written all
I'm
over.
Just saying, Memphis has done this. Sacramento had a year where they did this, and now Houston. And maybe Houston's built different, but I'm just—
Minnesota lost twice in the first round.
Yeah. Minnesota, I don't think, quite had the depth of young guys that—and they have a guy in Ann Edwards, but—
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at who was on that team because they've made a bunch of trades. They've changed some things. But anyway, my Warriors, Buddy Hield hits 9 threes.
12 of 15, I think, from the field.
And Steph Curry, who is just he's a modern marvel, this guy.
Yep.
He does nothing the whole game because Houston is absolutely whipping him. And then in the fourth quarter—
Here he comes.
Here he comes. Yep. You just cannot— You can't hold him down. He's just incredible. They said that at 37 years old, he's the oldest player ever to lead his team in points, rebounds, and assists in a series. Mm.
That's some LeBron James stuff.
Yes. And that's what somebody pointed out, that if this were LeBron, we would be over the moon about that. Yeah. Like, we'd be talking about that ad nauseum. Yeah. Meanwhile, Curry, I don't know how many people even know that because they don't think of Curry as, you know, big rebounds guy. But
what stinks is that we don't get what everyone wants. And you know the NBA is kicking themselves because LA and Golden State in this round, that's smashing. Yeah.
But Minnesota, Golden State is going to be good too.
Yeah, Ant said he wanted to go through Steph at one point in time. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the Draymond Gobert headlock bad blood from earlier in the year that people are excited
about. This is going to be fun. And by the way, the Thunder Nuggets... Let's go. Let's do that too.
Well,
the West is great.
So Curry, there was another stat you shot at me, Buck. I think it was that he's like the seventh player to win 3 game sevens on the road, and the others are all like Warriors and John Havlicek.
Yeah, only 7 players have ever won 3 game sevens on the road. Curry, Draymond, Jimmy Butler, who's done it with the Heat.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then Kevon Looney, Warrior, Robert Horry, John Havlicek, Don Nelson.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
the
so
list.
Not all. But, yeah. I mean, that's did it again. Well, and the thing about him that is like Houston did everything right on him. And yet he still managed to find a way. Like, I don't know how good a shape he... Like, can you test how good a shape someone is in terms of, like, a quantifiable test?
Yeah, you can do, like, max CO2 stuff.
That dude, he's, like, another level. He's got to be the most in shape player.
Well, he was at his best in the fourth last night, and he played 46 minutes.
Yes, he's 37. He's running, like, he runs more than anybody because he's trying to get loose. They're throwing two guys, they're throwing everything at him, bumping him, hitting him. And he still manages when the game is on the line, and it really kind of wasn't. But they pulled within 3.
Sure.
He hits huge shot after huge shot. He's just amazing.
It is quickly becoming one of those, if you're going all time and you have a fourth quarter where you need someone, the list of people that you're taking in front of Steph Curry is shrinking by the moment.
God, no kidding.
I mean, as great as LeBron is, and look, LeBron is unquestioned, right? Whether he's 1, 2, 3, LeBron is certainly an animal almost unto himself. But if you're talking about the fourth quarter, who I want the ball in his hands, it's not LeBron. I will take Steph.
And that, like you said, that Minnesota, well, and we can get more into it later, but that Minnesota Golden State series is a great matchup because it's Golden State is kind of built like the team that the T-Wolves just exploited because no size.
Yeah.
But then the T-Wolves are kind of built like the team that Houston is, just a lot more firepower.
If you're Minnesota and you shoot the way you did against the Lakers, careful. I mean, they had some wins against the Lakers where they shot 12% or whatever from the three-point line. You do that against Golden State, Golden State can bury you real, real fast.
All right. More headlines next. We've got, I got to brag about Buck's gambling account again.
Let's do it.
I mean,
first-round leaders, I hope?
No, this is even better. This is even bigger. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
This is unbelievable, guy.
He is a Sprint Clydesdale.
His account is so bloated. He's a Sprint Tri Clydesdale.
That
Please.
Seems a little clunky to me. Can't I just go Sprint Clydesdale?
No, because then no one knows what the hell you're talking
about. Then it just
about.
Sounds like
Does anyone know what a
you're
Sprint
just
a Tri Clydesdale?
You're just a Clydesdale who runs fast.
Sprint Tri?
Sprint Tri.
I don't, it's
that's what the kids
call it. Or a Tri Clydesdale.
You could say Tri-Clyde.
Yeah, Tri-Clyde. The other one just seems clunky. Tri-Clyde.
Anyway, we'll get to the Kentucky Derby and some other cool
Speaking
stuff.
Speaking of Clydesdale, can we run a Clydesdale in that thing?
Coming up next. Here's Buck.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
All right, welcome back. We've got Soup back. We're excited about that.
I know that I'll probably have to join a white supremacist gang.
He did not.
What?
What?
Huh? I was just putting in my headphones.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Did Buckley say something?
Nope.
Oh.
Not yet.
The Tri-Clyde over there?
The Tri-Clyde.
I kind of want to see now a Clydesdale run in the Kentucky Derby. You know, they always say you want to put like an average dude in the 100-meter dash in the Olympics. I want to see a Budweiser Clydesdale get his big wagon ass in there and run in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, how far back would he finish?
I'm guessing he'd get lapped.
Probably but pretty far.
It'd be fun to just take some nag, right? Just some old stable pony, put him in there. Just so you can appreciate how fast those damn horses run.
Yeah, that was great. Largest TV audience since 1989. Did you see that?
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
All descendants of Secretariat.
And I was trying to think of reasons why. And yes, that every horse, that blew me away. You know, the kids told me that we were on our way to a Kentucky Derby party.
Oh, look at you.
And they were, I wore my fedora.
Yeah, he had a very jaunty look going.
Yeah.
I like it.
And the kids were saying that. And I was like, you guys are such idiots. You always fall for this stuff on it. And then I'm like, oh.
No, it's real.
They're right.
You thought you got ball sacked?
Well, I thought they did. Because every time, you know, I don't know about you and your kids. Mm. But look, the 20s, sometimes they see stuff. They don't really vet stuff.
You just see something on TikTok.
And they're like, yeah, no, really, I saw it on TikTok.
It's not just kids on that are in their 20s. It's our producer as well. So it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, and, you know, as a professional show host, we have to be better. We have to vet.
Yeah.
Not that we don't get caught from time to time, but, usually, oftentimes I'm skeptical of things like that.
The first thing I do whenever I see something like that is I work a quick Google, and usually in about 4 seconds you can figure it out.
That's all you got to do. But every horse in that race Saturday was a descendant of Secretariat.
Yeah, some a little more direct than others, but yeah, there was a trace back to Secretariat for every one of those horses.
So I was trying to figure out why the hell that had the largest TV rating since 1989, and I don't have any good answer for that. Other than it seems like people are just kind of staying in these days.
Sure.
They're just kind of...
Yeah, because sometimes, like, you know, there's a horse that people are really excited about, and, you know, they're like, hey, this one could win, but I don't remember any... I just remember like as seeing an article about, and I even did one of these. I was like, oh, the Kentucky Derby. Cause you know, obviously being overseas at night, I would sit down when I'm laying in bed and I would read through ESPN and just kind of the headlines. And I saw that and was like, oh, the Kentucky Derby. I hadn't heard anything about it other than that right there.
Yeah. 21.8 million people watched Sloppy Track as Sovereignty won.
Mm-hmm.
Journalism 2.
Journalism, I think, was the favorite.
Correct.
Yes, you're correct. And then Baeza was 3. Mm. And then there was another horse that finished 4th. And the reason I tell you, what was the horse that finished 4th, Buck?
Final Gambit.
Final Gambit. The reason I tell you that and go all the way down there is because if you hit all 4 horsies,
mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4 in order,
yeah,
that is called a superfecta.
Oh. And not the trifecta, the superfecta.
Yes, I'm here to report to you that Ryan Buckley hit a superfecta.
On the Kentucky Derby?
Yes.
On the Kentucky Derby.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Dude.
Now, just imagine if you had bet more than $2.
He bet $1.
I bet $1.
Do you know how much money he won?
Okay.
Guess.
I'm going to say $160.
Way more.
Way more.
He bet $1.
$1. $1,000.
Now, with a superfecta, I just have to... I'm not a huge horse betting guy,
mm-hmm.
but I saw your ticket. You shot me the screenshot of the ticket. So you pick a bunch of different horses in each spot. It's
you can just pick one, but what people typically do is because it's such a long shot bet, you try to give yourself a handful of combinations that could hit.
Yeah.
If you, so if you like, let's say, a third of the field, like 8 of the horses maybe, you find ways to mix them up in the top 4 and then place a bunch of tiny bets on all of them because the odds are astronomical if they hit.
So he hit a superfecta mm-hmm. with, I'm looking at his ticket here. So he only bet on the 8 and the 18.
To win.
To win. And, of course, 18 is journal, or 8 is sovereignty.
18 is sovereignty, 8 is journalism.
Sorry. And then 18, 10, and 8.
And 10 got scratched. 10 was Grande.
So he only had 18 and 8 for 2. So he got 1-2 right, just betting those 2.
Yeah.
Then he bet 3, 8, 10, 14, 18, 21 for 3, and then several more for 4. But he hit him.
Hmm.
So he wins.
Off a $1 bet.
Off a $1 bet, he wins a grand total of $1,700.
Yeah, Buckley.
Biggest win of my life.
That's the biggest win of your
biggest
life.
Biggest sports betting win of my life.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
That's
phenomenal.
This coming from first round leader guy.
My goodness.
He is having a year.
He's a sprint try Clyde, like gambling aficionado. Like he's a man of many hats.
He's on a roll.
You are on a heater right now.
Now, here's where the offshore books get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to cash out, you gotta you gotta get Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's a whole
or something. Oh, like, you've got to like.
Doing now?
Well, no. You can still get cash out, but they make you wait longer, way longer if you want
my,
the cash.
My offshore account usually takes me about 2 to 2.5 weeks if I want to get my.
That's right. Okay. So no cash immediately available, which is fine, but
it's not fine. That's kind of bullshit. But okay,
look, dude. In what world are you gambling? And then you're like, oh my god, I need that $1,700 right now. If that's
I don't
the case,
I don't need it. Right
some
now.
People might, and DraftKings, you can take it out right away.
But there's rules. That's what it's easier and harder to bet offshore. How
correct.
About that?
That's
right. You can bet on more things offshore.
Yes. Well, and I live in the state of Washington, so it just almost all of my gambling, unless I'm at A&A, is done offshore.
And there have been plenty of times where I'm like, sure, I'll just take profits and put it into Bitcoin, and that'll be fine. But that's not what I want to do this time. So I'll wait a couple weeks.
Dude, his account is so bloated.
Yeah, someone's saying how much you wishing you would have bet 20 on that.
We were talking about that.
Just
in the kitchen.
A tenner.
So if
just
you
a
bet
on that,
if he bets $100 on that, am I right? That's $170,000.
I think that's right.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. What a hit.
Yeah.
And they when they show the payouts on the screen of like exacta, trifecta, superfecta, they're all just like dollar bets or maybe it's a $2 for the exacta. Yeah. So that's typically really tiny bets that people do this with. But.
Yeah, because it's like doing a 14 team parlay. It's
right.
You know, if you're betting more than a few shekels on that.
So I had 36 different combinations that could have hit. And so it was 36 $1 bets.
Dude, Righteous Bucks, man. That's awesome. And were you watching it live when it went down?
I was watching it with my 4-year-old son, just the two of us. It was surreal and awesome because I got him all hyped for it. He's four, so numbers, colors, and animals all rule. So he's going through the numbers and he's looking at the silks and all that, and he's wondering their names. And then they start going, and he's like, "Run fast, horsies, run fast!" And I'm like, "Yeah, horsies, run fast. This could be something here."
But only four of them, not all of them.
Yeah, only four of them.
You have to explain to him, no, we don't want that horse to run fast. We need this horse to run fast.
He knew some of the ones that we liked, so that was fun.
Well, the Kentucky Derby was it was good. Good race.
And someone's saying maybe record numbers, it might just be this. The access now to online gambling, like with all the different states, it might just be that. Like,
and you don't have to have cable to watch the Derby.
Yeah, it's just
like they said, a bunch of different streaming platforms and everything. That accessibility to it.
Accessibility,
is also,
and then you throw the gambling aspect into it, and then all of a sudden you got 21 million people. Basically, gambling. If you can gamble on something and it's easy to watch, we're watching. I think that's where we're at in the country now.
Well, what is Buckley going to hit next?
I don't know. Do we have to just start jumping on the Buckley wagon?
Oh, I don't know about that. I just
I wouldn't recommend. It's going to come crashing.
Some of those
Rob immediately like, well.
I mean, some of those long shot bets, they're not for me, but he has hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible how many he's hit this year.
It's been like a spring that I hope never ends. I mean, basically from the Super Bowl till now has been the hottest sports betting run I've had.
Look at the guy. You should start a show, gambling show.
Doesn't Sprague?
I think there are a lot of those.
Sprague has one of those.
Yeah,
I think everybody has
Shouldn't
one of
you
them.
Do that now, Buckley, since you're actually winning?
I don't know.
By the way, no offense to anyone, but it stuns me the... there's shouldn't you have to be good at something in order to have a show on it?
Well, I don't think so.
What?
See podcasts.
Or you could just be really bouncy. There are people in that content,
for
too.
For God's sakes, that's like, am I going to have a podcast about marathon running now? I was like, I don't know.
I think you should.
Come join my Tri-Clyde podcast.
Tell you about all the tips I have on hot marathon running.
Go slow.
Thought about running one once.
Pace yourself.
Yeah. Hydrate.
Yeah. Get
some of those gel packets.
All right. A couple of baseball notes and golf next on The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host.
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, coming up next, we will tell you who Jared Curtis is and who Jared Curtis chose.
Even though we know that he won't be on that team for very long.
He's a hot name.
I'm convinced that
college football.
If you're a five-star quarterback, it matters not where you sign because you won't be there in a year.
So that is coming up next.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you a couple of baseball items before we get to the end of the hour here.
My red hot Seattle Mariners?
Yeah, your Mariners have looked really good since you were away. You should have stayed away.
Is it 8 or 9 series in a row now?
I think 8.
Yeah. They're awesome.
I don't have to worry about it because, in reality, my Mets are in first place. So we did lose 2 in a row to the Cardinals.
Did you see that your Mets have now lost the 34th game of the season for the 16th straight year?
I saw that. I wish I knew that. I would have bet it if I knew that. That's an amazing trend.
That is a Buckley bet.
That is
it's an auto bet.
So the 34th game, as in the Mets' 34th game, they have lost that game because they lost
16 straight years. They have lost that particular game.
And so I'm assuming that was one of the losses to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
By the way, both of those were one run losses.
Yeah. So, I watched those were pretty good games.
Yeah, they were.
I was actually watching them yesterday.
Hey, let's go Mets go.
The Mets look pretty good, man. You should feel pretty good about what they got going on.
The winker's on the IL with an oblique strain.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, the Mets are good.
There's that. And then I wanted to tell you that Aaron Judge, somebody put this out on social media. This is freaking unbelievable.
I think I saw this.
Aaron Judge, in his last 162 games,
yes,
is batting .366 yep, with 63 home runs and 159 yeah, RBI. Yeah.
Aaron Judge is on a bit of a heater right now.
dude.
Where's the testing? And is he using the torpedo?
No.
I think he's not a torpedo guy. He said he didn't need to.
Yeah. And he doesn't.
And why wouldn't you with
he's
those
like,
numbers?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. I'm doing fine.
You know, listen, we don't have to discuss this.
I think he's hitting 400 right now, isn't he?
For too long. He was. I don't think he is anymore.
I saw this like a day or two ago that he was hitting like 403,
take a look.
I could be wrong. Yeah, he's off to a start that's an all-timer.
Yeah, he's hitting 423. God. We talked about this while you were gone, and like I said, we don't have to belabor this.
Yeah.
But it is worth noting, because the Wall Street Journal did an article on this, some of the numbers. He stacks up with all the great Yankees.
Yes.
He does.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth,
yep,
Roger Maris, yep, DiMaggio, freaking Mantle, all of them.
Yeah.
Dude, Judge he is...
Dare I say, he is
descending into that conversation as the greatest Yankee of all time.
Dare I say, and he won't get it because you got to win the titles, right? Like every one of the great Yankees has multiple titles. But Aaron Judge, what he's doing in his career, Pujols had this a little bit too. I think it's hard sometimes to put in context, like the start to careers when I don't know. Like Judge is a big deal. He plays in New York, but I think he's underappreciated. I really do. I don't think we give Aaron Judge enough credit. It's just strange because he might be the first Yankee in the history of baseball to not just be rammed down our throats every 2 seconds.
Is it just the shadow of Jeter, do we think? Like the fact that he was the guy for so long and they didn't pass the torch immediately to someone else? Like
he is so good. And normally you get someone in New York that's half this good and people won't shut the hell up about him. But every now and then, like we get this in baseball, but it's usually a small market. Like Cabrera had this in Detroit, and I think Pujols in St. Louis had this. Pujols had arguably the greatest 10-year start to a major league career of all time, and he kind of flew under the radar. Trout a little bit. I mean, Trout was winning MVP after MVP before all the injuries occurred. But I think, like, at least we had Trout was talked about. People were like, dude, is he the best? Like, is he going to be in the conversation for best of all time? So I think Trout got more credit than Judge. And outside of the home run, the real home run chase, take away the steroid stuff, I don't ever think we've talked about Aaron Judge the way we have some of those other players. He just kind of falls under the radar.
Well,
amazing because he's in New York.
What hurt him was he's had kind of a weird career arc. Like Pujols popped onto the scene and was just awesome for 10 straight years.
For 10 straight years.
Judge had 3 or 4 years where he didn't do a whole hell of a lot. He had the 1 year. So when he was 25, that was his second year.
Mm-hmm.
He hit 52 home runs.
Yeah.
And was second. He was rookie of the year, and he was second in the MVP voting.
Yeah.
The next 4 seasons.
Not that great.
The next 3 seasons, not that great. Then he kind of bounced back in 2021 at the age of 29. Then he popped with 62 home runs in 2022.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird. I think for the longest time, he was kind of disappointing.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he kind of resurrected. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. So he's got 2 MVPs, right?
Yeah, but those all since the age of 30.
Yeah, since the age of 30. Yeah, I'm looking at
for
that.
Both of them, I mean.
Yeah, that is weird. After the you said that second year rookie of the year, twice in MVP voting. Yeah, there was a 3 year kind of a little blip. And maybe too, he came up a little bit older. Because a lot of the guys that come up, you know, they're 20, 21 years old. And he was
24.
He was 20. Well, he was 25 when he really popped though.
But now so he didn't really start putting up gaudy numbers.
29?
Until he was 30.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Well, maybe.
And maybe that's why people are like, other guys have done that. I don't know, but I think you're right. I think a lot of it too has to do with the fact that the Yankees haven't won the World Series.
If he had won a World Series,
I mean,
maybe,
Shohei.
Maybe we talk about it. And he plays in the shadow. Well, he has played in the shadow of the two guys that have gotten the credit have been Trout and Shohei. And maybe they just have...
And Shohei won it.
I know.
So it's like, I think if Judge does that, we're talking about him like...
Yeah, that same breath.
And finally, Jace.
What do we got?
In golf. Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, PGA Tour tied the record, right?
Tied the record.
He tied the lowest 72-hole score in PGA Tour history this weekend, going only 31 under at the old Byron Nelson.
Yeah, tied.
You saw him duff that chip there, you know. He might have had a chance.
Yeah, and he missed it. Yeah, he duffed a chip on 17, or he just didn't get it up there, and it can't roll all the way back to his feet. Yeah. And then on 18, he missed. I mean, he had like a 10-footer.
Just goes to show you, no matter how good your round is, you always end up with, I could have done better.
Anyway, I only bring this up to point out, because no one cares about the CJ Cup.
No, I don't.
I only bring this up to point out, Rory McIlroy is back. Do you remember? You may remember he won the Masters.
I do remember something about that.
Yeah. So this the PGA Championship is not this weekend, but the weekend after. Mm-hmm. It's at Quail Hollow in North Carolina, and Rory is awesome on that course. Mm-hmm. And now Scheffler has won, and... because Scheffler hadn't won all year until this. And Bryson DeChambeau won the LIV event. It is shaping up to be one hell of a PGA championship with those three stars all coming off wins.
Because we did say that at the Masters, we've never seen Rory and Scheffler go toe-to-toe.
Well, they've been in the same tournament a lot, yeah, but we've never really seen it come down the stretch. Like, we always wanted Tiger and Phil.
Yeah.
It just, you know, just doesn't happen quite that way all that much.
So maybe now we get a three-way. We get a menage a trois of the doucher. Scheffler, the criminal, and the hero that is Rory McIlroy.
What do you think about that?
I would watch that, yes. Because I've said many a times, to take nothing away from the PGA, it's the Australian Open of golf.
Yeah.
It's the less... It's the... and which is why they moved it from the end of the year up. Because at the end of the season, I was like, it's the PGA.
Yeah, it's kind of anticlimactic, yeah, I should say.
Right, you get the Masters, the two Opens, then you get to the PGA, and everyone's like,
All right, coming up next, will Jared Curtis be a duck?
We know the answer.
That's next on The Fan.
Yeah, let's do that.